All right, if y'all, we'll go ahead and get started. I'm Terry Kilgore. I'm the chairman of the Southwest Virginia Health Authority. And we are here tonight for a listening session that will be recorded as we're going through the process. First, a few announcements. There is a sign-up sheet right up here for those wanting to participate in the public comment. If you do not wish to speak, but you still want to make a public comment, then we have these sheets that you will be able to fill out and sign, and then we'll post those on the website. So we're very happy that everyone here has been able to make it out and to hear about the cooperative agreement and about the application and give your comments about the merger. The Southwest Virginia Health Authority, we've been tasked with reviewing the proposed cooperative agreement pursuant to the law passed by the Virginia General Assembly. And there are certain steps that the authority must make in order to recommend approval to the commissioner, such as weigh the advantages and the disadvantages of a merger of the health system. This year in February the 16th, doesn't seem like that long ago, but the authority received the Commonwealth of Virginia application for a letter authorizing cooperative agreement between Mountain States Health Alliance and Wellmont Health System. After the application was received, consisting of a mere 4,000 pages, the authority began to review that process to determine if it was complete. We set out 5 working groups to meet and to assess the application, which the working groups are the competition working group, the healthcare access working group, the healthcare cost working group, the healthcare quality working group, and population health working group. In review of the application, the authority submitted a list of 68 questions to the applicants on May the 27th, 2016, asking for greater detail on certain areas of the application. On July 13th, 2016, the applicants responded to questions submitted by the authority. On August the 26th, 2016, the authority met and during our meeting deemed the application complete. The next steps in the process are the listening sessions, which are today and tomorrow night in Wise. We have a public hearing scheduled Monday, October 3rd at 5 p.m. at the Southwest Virginia Higher Education Center. And the last day for us to make a recommendation on this process is November the 9th, 2016. So, tonight, I know we have Bart Hove with us from Wellmont Health Systems, and we have Alan Levine with us from Mountain States Health System. And I know that either of them or someone else is going to give a brief presentation of the proposed cooperative agreement application. And after that, we will take comments from those individuals that sign up to speak or anyone wishing to actually write something down will be welcome. Each speaker will be given 3 minutes to speak. So, that's live.
Okay. Thank you, Terry. And thank you to you and the Southwest Virginia Health Authority for allowing us this opportunity to participate in the listening session. And hopefully answer questions that may come before us from this group tonight. Thank you to the members of the Southwest Virginia Health Authority who are here tonight. And for those of you of the community who are interested in your health care of the future, that's what we're really here to talk about tonight, is to give you some glimpse of indication as to the vision that both Mountain States and Wellmont have put together that has resulted in this a cooperative agreement application that the state and the Southwest Virginia Health Authority are really spending a great deal of time reviewing and evaluating and hopefully determining what we all together feel like our best met opportunities for us in the future. And I'll take just a second to explain a little bit about how we got here. The Wellmont Health System composed of six hospitals in Tennessee and in Virginia, went through a strategic options process with its board to determine what we could do in this rapidly changing healthcare environment that we're in today to preserve our ability to continue to deliver quality healthcare services to the region that we serve and have served for many, many years. And throughout that process, what we ultimately came to the conclusion for various reasons, and I'll touch on some of those reasons, was the benefit to our communities and to our regions that came out of being able to preserve our opportunity to continue to deliver care in the changing environment was to merge our two health systems together because of the vision and the focus that our two health systems are attempting to pursue in this dynamic environment. You've all heard of the Affordable Care Act. You've all heard of how the population in our region is not growing, it's actually shrinking. All of those economic factors affect how we deliver healthcare. Our physicians are aging. We're constantly competing with cities like Atlanta, Georgia, or Charlotte, North Carolina, or New York for physician needs and specialties that serve our region. And so healthcare across the country is gaining more and more competitiveness. And we're in a fight for our lives. Hospitals across the country are, especially rural hospitals, are coming under a great deal of pressure to sustain themselves. Just today, I was reading of another hospital in Oklahoma that's filed for bankruptcy. That's among 70 hospitals across the country, small rural hospitals across the country that have closed since 2000. These challenges are real, and they're live experiences that we're all facing today. Not only that, but the pressures that we're seeing from insurance companies and from the federal government to provide care in a more appropriate setting, which means a less expensive setting to the consumer and to the government. In the region that we're in, we are trying to address those matters by providing alternative delivery locations of care. And that is one of the real challenges that we're facing as well. So when you think of healthcare today, most of us gravitate to the hospital bricks and mortar. And what we're here to share with you is that the future of healthcare is only partly related to the hospital bricks and mortar, but also related to the physicians, where they're delivering their care, the allied health practitioners, the nurse practitioners, where they deliver their care, how that care is monitored or controlled. The various challenges that we have in the region, we'll touch on some of those in just a minute, to indicate to you the challenges that we face and how we plan to go about lifting up our region and promoting a healthier population and a healthier lifestyle, and also some economic viability associated with those changing delivery models. So starting with some of the stresses on the healthcare system today, we've talked about the population changes, the fact that our population in the region is declining. That also brings declining utilization rates, which means that people don't go to the hospital necessarily for all of their healthcare, but seek that in some other location. So that includes the loss of inpatient volume. And then I mentioned the rural hospitals that are challenged all across the country today. So we do have a poor regional health picture in certain aspects. And that's not really a ding on our region or the culture of our region. It's just a fact of life that the challenges that our region has faced over the years have resulted in less healthier lifestyles than what we generally see across the country. Some of those factors, such as low birth weight babies, neonatal abstinence, childhood obesity, third grade reading ability, premature death from heart disease, diabetes, cancer, addiction to pharmaceuticals, tobacco use. All of those factors can be somewhat controlled and influenced. And that's what this merger is really trying to address. It's working with our communities, working with community agencies to promote healthier lifestyles, to promote lifestyles as to how we can better avoid some of these healthcare statistics by pulling all of our resources together to cooperate in educating our communities and then working with our communities to live those healthier lifestyles. This results in a unique solution for our region. Working with our local structure to deliver the healthcare in various models that educate our publics and help our communities to understand how to avoid some of these unhealthier habits. We have an integrated healthcare delivery system for the residents that need that high quality care. And then the enforceable commitments that really is what the cooperative agreement is all about. The rules of the land say that if we're able to displace competition, we've got to show and be able to prove through some monitoring mechanism that this displacement of competition is actually better for the consumer. And that is in access to healthcare, increased services to healthcare, lower costs of healthcare, and improved population lifestyle. So these commitments that we've talked about are written into our 4,000 plus pages of our application that the Southwest Health Authority is really starting to dig into and look at and pose questions to us in this approach for care. Additionally, we want to talk a little bit about investing in the region in a different way. Historically, healthcare has grown by building bricks and mortar and trying to attract more patients and provide more procedures, more patients in the beds, so to speak. And that environment of healthcare is changing today. It's not always doing more. It's approaching the quality of care and trying to work with our patients to keep them healthy and keep them out of the hospital. So it's a whole different environment that we are attempting to address. And in order to do that and provide some of the economic viability that we're talking about for our regions, we're also proposing that we partner with our institutions of higher learning across the regions for research and development growth. And these are jobs in the healthcare environment, but they're new jobs in the healthcare environment. So we're not only taking care of the patient population currently that we serve that need healthcare services, but also promoting the opportunity to work with our institutions of higher learning in further research and development along the healthcare trends that would promote further ideas and efforts across the country. But in so doing, we'd be creating a new industry in the region, so to speak, that would promote additional jobs for our region. Thus, again, elevating the overall benefit to our communities. To begin some of this, and this was addressed early, we started with some work groups to gain some insight from the community, citizens and residents, as to what types of information needed to be contained in the application itself. And these community work groups that address research and development, they address psychiatric and behavioral and addiction services, they address population health, they address childhood illnesses and reading levels. And these community agents and community groups that we conducted several meetings to gain insight and input were weaved into this application as some of the early thoughts. And now we're working with the Southwest Virginia Health Authority to further fine-tune those recommendations and become a part of our complete and full application. So, again, we engaged over 175 professionals from different regions to help us with that. And these four work groups that I just touched on identified some of these key categories here that were also on some of the unhealthy statistics that we show from our region, where we can work on and address collectively together across agencies from our regions to help promote healthier lifestyles. At this point in time, we'll start to, I'll turn it over to Alan, and he'll start to share more information about how our merged organization can really benefit the region that we serve in healthcare services.
Thanks, Bart. We appreciate you guys being here tonight. This has been going on for almost a year and a half. and a lot of work done to prepare for this merger. Let me distill down, repeating a little bit of some of the things that Bart talked about, let me distill down the situation that we're in. Hospitals all over the country, health systems all over the country, have been forced to merge with larger systems. There's been a huge wave of consolidations going back to 2010, maybe even a couple of years before that. But really, since the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, we've seen a huge consolidation wave. And you know, our choice was, when you look at the market, as Bart mentioned, throughout this region, well, I'm talking right here about Russell County, where we've had a 9% decline in population since over the last 5 years. And in fact, the population of children 0 to 17 has actually declined about 15%. This is devastating to a hospital, particularly when you pair the population decline with declining inpatient use of hospitals. And so what's happened is many rural communities, hospitals have had to close. Now, the benefit of to Russell County of being part of a larger system like Mount States is we help provide subsidies to the hospital to keep the hospital open. Now, this can be done for a period of time. Now, the problem we face is the same challenges are happening to us in Tennessee, where our larger hospitals that produce a lot of our cash flow are facing these challenges of stagnant population, no population growth, and declining hospital use rates. And what that means is our ability over time to continue to support hospitals in markets that have declining use rates and declining population, it becomes more challenging. And that's why we feel this merger makes a lot of sense, and here's why. Both Mount States and Wellmont could have, and still may, if the merger doesn't happen, join a larger system that's based elsewhere. Typically what happens in those types of mergers is the larger system that acquires the smaller one generally gets what they call synergies from that merger. Those synergies result from elimination of corporate overhead, meaning the corporate jobs that exist throughout the region. The larger system doesn't need those corporate jobs here because they already have those positions filled in their corporate office. The second thing that happens is typically, as the studies have shown, pricing of hospital services actually goes up an average of 14%. Because what happens in healthcare, which is a little different than many other industries, as these hospital systems have consolidated and gotten larger throughout the country, they get larger in various different regions. And in those different regions, the insurance companies need those hospitals in their networks in order to sell their product. Well, the hospitals, because they're larger and have a larger footprint, the larger hospital systems have a larger footprint, what they do is they leverage the different hospitals to get higher rates from the insurance companies. Well, we don't want to do that. We don't think that's right. There's too many self-insured employers in this region where that 14% growth in healthcare costs means a lot of money. I was just talking to somebody the other day, about a week ago, who has a small business and told me that his insurance is going up this year by $1 million for his small business. And you know, he can't afford it. It's a 60% increase in his premiums. And so we believed, both Wellmont and Mount States believed, that model of joining a larger system doesn't make any sense. Now, I mentioned to you, and Bart's mentioned, that when systems like ours end up being acquired by larger systems, they eliminate a lot of local jobs, and they get those synergies. Those synergies benefit the corporation that acquired us. It goes to the benefit of their balance sheet. The difference is, by merging Mountain States and Wellmont, we will get synergies between our two systems. But instead of those synergies benefiting a large system that's based elsewhere, we've committed to spending that money here. So that is the fundamental difference between us joining a larger system versus joining together and getting those synergies. And those synergies matter. And this is the fundamental question the authority has to ask and the Commonwealth have to ask. Does this, what I'm about to explain to you, the expenditures that we're going to make locally, do those expenditures and the commitments that we're making, do those benefits outweigh the negative aspects of eliminating competition and supplanting competition with regulation? We believe they do, largely, particularly here in Virginia, because very few of our markets in Virginia have overlap. In fact, there's less than a 10% impact on the market share in this market by our merger. We have a very small overall, when you think about the market share of this region, it doesn't change at all after the merger, particularly here in Russell County or in Smith County. Really, the only market where it's affected is in Wise County. So the market share change is very minimal. So we don't even think there's a negative effect from the merger on elimination of competition and replacement with regulation, because there isn't already a lot of direct competition in these markets. So that means that these benefits outweigh the cost dramatically. The first benefit is we're making a commitment for at least 5 years for these hospitals to remain open as healthcare institutions to serve these communities. Without this merger, that commitment doesn't exist. That's a fact. And that by itself, we believe, is one of the biggest benefits to Southwest Virginia, is that we're committing to keeping these hospital assets going to serve these regions. Now, I will say, as inpatient hospitalizations decline, what we're realizing is we have to invest more resources in the community-based setting. And that's what you're going to see us talk a little bit about. $140 million over 10 years. What we plan to do is identify where the service gaps are throughout the region. This changes every year, by the way. As physicians age out and retire, as new technology becomes available, there's an opportunity for us to look at those gaps in services and say, okay, here's something we can invest in that community that we wouldn't have otherwise invested in because we didn't have the resources. So $140 million to preserve rural access points, meet staffing needs in underserved and rural areas. And I think, you know, one of the big areas is investment in pediatrics. Just last week, we announced that we put virtual technology in many of the schools throughout the region in Upper East Tennessee to connect the schools with our children's hospital, with physicians or nurse practitioners at the children's hospital. This type of technology is something we want to see throughout the whole region, including Southwest Virginia. And these are the types of investments we want to make. So the other thing we haven't talked about yet is the issue of addiction, but it has been talked about in this region a lot recently. This region leads the nation in opioid use and in deaths from opioid addiction. And it's tragic. And the data show, the studies show that use of opioids increases dramatically as the economic situation declines. And what have we seen in Southwest Virginia over the last several years? We've seen dramatic pressure on our economy, and people lose hope. They lose their jobs. Their family situation gets more intense and more pressure. And people look for other outlets to try to deal with this challenge. And it's a big challenge to lose your job and to lose everything that you've worked for. And so it leads to addiction. And so one of the things our region does not have, we need a full-on effort to try to reduce the rate of addiction in this region. It isn't just about treatment, but we also recognize this has happened to us so quickly and so dramatically. We don't have the resources. We've not produced the resources that in this region to be able to tackle this problem. So we want to invest in building a residential addiction facility that would serve this entire region. We also want to provide subsidies for people who are uninsured so that we can provide the help they need. The majority of addiction is there's what we call co-occurring conditions. There's an addiction, but there's also a mental health issue. And so we believe there's also a need to invest in community-based mental health services, assertive community teams, child and adolescent response teams, things that are community-based. But again, we don't get paid for those things in many instances, but we know it's a service that's needed. That's why the synergies from this merger being redirected to providing those services, this is something, again, by itself, but there were no other benefits. I would argue this benefit by itself dramatically outpaces the negative consequence of elimination of competition and replacement with regulation. The next, we talked about pediatric subspecialists. One of the things that we want to do in this region, throughout the region, is I mentioned virtual connectivity. Every ER in our region will be connected to the children's hospital where there's pediatric specialists available, either through virtual technology or through the use of pediatric specialists that we want to continue to recruit. One of the things, our children's hospital is the only one in the state of Tennessee that still lacks some of the specialties that are needed in order to get the full, for instance, to be fully certified as a pediatric trauma center. We're the only region, this whole region does not have a pediatric trauma center. We're almost there because there's a couple more specialties we need to recruit. But that's, again, where the synergies from this merger can help provide that service that is currently not available. And then obviously, services are essential for rural hospitals. Obviously, these are all services that we know need to continue in these communities, no matter what. Access to emergency care, access to emergency OB care, obstetrics care, diagnostics, specialties, helicopter services. These are all things we're committed to no matter what, because we understand these needs are very important for families. And if you're going to try to diversify your economy and grow your economy, as these fine gentlemen are trying to do at the county level and the city level, if we're going to grow the economy, one of the first things people need to know is that we have a stable healthcare system. That's one of the most important things that we've got to be able to tell, the stories that we've got to be able to tell. So I mentioned all hospitals remain operational as clinical and healthcare institutions for at least 5 years. The reason we didn't go further than that is we just don't know what the future is going to hold. We don't know. We have no idea because of the changes that have occurred in the healthcare system. In fact, as recently as a few months ago when a new law was passed by Congress that changes entirely how doctors are paid. These types of changes have real impact in these communities. So we've talked about working with our independent physicians and making sure that our doctors can practice wherever they want to practice. Today, that's not true. Because of the competition that exists between Wellmont and Mountain States, in many cases, some of the doctors can't even practice at the hospital in their community. And sometimes patients, today it happens, because of the competitive relationship between Wellmont and Mountain States, patients from right here in Russell County may get referred right past Abington to Bristol for a service that can be provided in Abington. It happens, by the way, we do the same thing. Patients that in Smith County or Russell County that might need open heart surgery, we transfer them all the way down to Johnson City when they could be taken care of in Bristol. So changing the dynamics, the culture between Mountain States and Wellmont, instead of trying to figure out how to compete with each other and how to beat each other in the market, we actually can collaborate, make sure the patients go closest to where they live for the services they need. And that becomes a driving factor for us, not how can we move patients out of that community to one of our hospitals. The whole dynamic changes, I think, for the better. One of the things that we've committed to, again, by itself, really offsets the consequence of replacing competition with regulation, that is, we're capping our pricing growth. In fact, this is a fact. The pricing for our services will go up less with the merger than without the merger. That is especially true right here in Southwest Virginia. That is a fact. Because we cap our pricing based on, first of all, the first year after the merger, after the first full year of the merger being completed, that next contract year, we reduce our already agreed upon pricing increases with the commercial payers by 50%. That 50% reduction doesn't happen if we don't merge. And then thereafter, every year, our fixed rate increases can increase by no more than the consumer price index for hospitals minus 0.25%. That means our future pricing increases will go up by lower than what the national norm is for hospital pricing increases. So we're making we believe that we can actually succeed by containing healthcare costs down, by eliminating a lot of the duplicative things that go on between Mountain States and Wellmont and reinvesting those dollars in services that are needed going forward. Bart mentioned health research and graduate medical education. This is something that we think is going to dramatically help our economy. Because if you spend $85 million over 10 years recruiting faculty to do research, all of our hospitals have the ability to participate in this research. Right here in Russell County, we have the ability, because of the types of patients that we see, our physicians that might want to participate in research, they can participate in research activities, clinical trials, and the types of things, bringing clinical trials to these communities, whereas, you know, sometimes you have to go all the way to Vanderbilt, or all the way to Charlotte, or all the way to Roanoke, or Richmond, to be able to get access to some of these trials. But by our system becoming more robust in research, and bringing more academics into the region, this is a big benefit to us. One of the questions that came up at the Southwest Virginia Health Authority meeting was, Well, how do we ensure that some of those dollars stay here in Southwest Virginia? Southwest Virginia has something that Tennessee doesn't have. It's got the authority, and it's got the Tobacco Commission. And when we work, we collaborate with the authority on what are the priorities for our region. In other words, do we want to focus on improving third grade reading skills? We think that's really important. Why? Children that can read at grade level of third grade are much more likely to graduate on time and much more likely to be college or career ready when they graduate from high school. So we know that investment in the near term, a lot of people ask, well, why do hospitals care about that? Well, we care because there's a high correlation between health literacy and reading skills. So by investing in that, it might be that we put money on the table to work with our school systems here in Southwest Virginia, but the Tobacco Commission might also say, you know what, we want to match those dollars. And by matching those dollars, all of those dollars have to be spent right here in Southwest Virginia. Our focus on this, our hope, our objective, is to collaborate with the Southwest Virginia Health Authority and the Commonwealth to identify what are the priorities that are important to the Commonwealth and to the Health Authority, and then every year amending our plan going forward so that we are collaborating on, here's the things we agree are important, here's what we're going to go spend the money on, and in the next year when we look at where we are, what's the status of what we've done, have we spent the money where we said we would spend it, and is it having an effect? If it's not having an effect, then we have to have the ability to be agile and work with the authority to say, okay, that may not be the right priority. Let's change the priority. But this is something that has to happen on an ongoing collaborative basis with the Commonwealth and with the authority. And then what happens is once we agree on those things, we go spend the money. And this is money that's not currently available to be spent on these things. So obviously our workforce, we can't be successful without our team members. Mountain States and Wellmont, several months ago, almost a year ago, we did a culture audit between Mountain States and Wellmont. And what we found was when they looked at our team members at Mountain States and the team members at Wellmont, there's no difference. They care about their communities. They care about the people that they're taking care of. And you know, they don't care about all the politics and the competitive stuff that goes on. They're proud of their systems, as they should be. The Wellmont team members are awful proud of Wellmont. Mountain States is awful proud of Mountain States. The good news is I think they can all be proud of what we're creating together. And at the end of the day, that's actually what our team members care about. And so culturally, there's a lot of synergy between our two systems. And the number one thing that is a predictor of success for a merger is the culture. And so one of the things that we're focused on is making sure that we continue to compete for the best and the brightest. There's going to continue to be competition in this market as we compete with some of the hospitals to the north. There's going to be competition over in Smith County as we compete with Wythe County. Over in Wise County, we'll still be competing with the hospital up there in Pikeville. So we're going to continue to compete for team members, for employees, for doctors, for patients. We're going to continue to do that. We're going to do it together in a way that benefits our communities. And so we appreciate the time. I will say this. The Southwest Virginia Health Authority has spent an enormous amount of time and effort looking at this, analyzing this, asking us a lot of hundreds of tough questions. Some of those questions were very important because they helped us think about things that we may not have thought about before. But this is not a fait accompli. When we submitted this application, this was something that we knew we were going to have to make a tough case for. And we believe we've made a very compelling case for this merger and for the things that we know need to be done in this region, and that nobody is going to be better positioned to do than we are. Because we live here, we're governed by people who grew up here, who went to school here, whose kids go to school here, and grandkids go to school here. And that's important, I think, for all of us, because no one's going to make a better decision than the people who are directly affected by that decision. So with that, I'll turn it over to our chair. And thank you for your time, Delegate.
Thank
you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. All right, now is the time for the public comment. And not many people have signed up, so like I said earlier, if you would like to speak after we have the ones who have signed up speak, if you'll keep your comments to 3 minutes. The first one up is Randall Hillman from Honeaker, Virginia.
That's exactly right.
All right.
First thing I want to say is I think what happens to Russell County Medical Center
is also what's best for the merger. If it helps us here in Russell County, it helps the people in Johnson City and Bristol. I think that's because that's where we're coming from, is from a state patient standpoint. I live in Honaker. If I want to go to the doctor, I can come half an hour this way to Lebanon, or I can go a half an hour maybe east of us to Richlands. If I want to stay on Route 80, the nearest hospital is in Pikeville, Kentucky. And I know if you have a heart attack and you're in Honaker, you're going to come here, and we're going to get stabilized here at this hospital, and then they're going to take us where we need to go faster and with better care than any other way you could do this. You all know how many hospitals in Virginia have gone out of business. You know, since this program has started with revising health care, they've been hospitals here and there that just dropped by the wayside. And we're a small hospital. We need support. And I think this is going to help give us the support we also need. Mr. Levine was talking about the National Wonder Children's Hospital. Without that hospital, people were going to have to go down to Greenville, South Carolina to the Shriners Hospital. And this hospital, if you look at the people in the hospital at Nice Wonder, you're going to see half the people, it's in Johnson City, but you're going to see half the people, the patients, are from Southwest Virginia and, you know, from our hospitals. I don't have a lot to say, but I really recommend that this board support this merger. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. Next, we have Supervisor David Eaton, who's one of the supervisors here in Russell County.
Thank you.
Yeah, my name is David Eaton. I'm the Vice Chair of the Russell County Board of Supervisors. I will tell you this, I've lived in Honaker all my life, and I've owned a business, a communications business, for over 20 years. I lost my father 2 weeks before I graduated high school to a mining accident, lost my mom 3 years later. RCMC was there for me, and that's coming from my heart. They were there, they were very compassionate, and I was so thankful to the good Lord that we had a hospital here locally that could actually help through that trying time. I had a sister that was 9 years younger than me. And after that process, I'm here today to say that if it wasn't for the good Lord, I don't know if I would be here or not. But also to the fact that I am so proud to know that we have a hospital here locally in Russell County. A couple of weeks ago, I'm just newly elected. We have 6 brand new board members here, and we've been very active trying to work hard for jobs and for the economy and to try to get it built up. We've been regional partners with a lot of our counties, Buchanan, Dickinson, and Tazewell. Russell's been working together, and Scott, Lee, Wise, all of us on a regional concept to try to come together. Those days of working separately are over. We've got to come together as a region to make things happen, to make it work. So a couple of weeks ago, Steve Breeden's here, our chairman, and he knows I started on this process of coming up with some creative ideals and trying to get some things established. And one of them was a veterans forum for our veterans here in Russell County. And I was able to go to Richmond. I was able to meet with the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs, Mr. Newby. And we had a great conversation. He took me down to the Salem delegation, and he said, "Here, I want him to tell you what you want to hear." So I was kind of off base there. Well, I didn't know that he was going to ask me to speak, so I did. And one of the things that we did, we hosted this forum out here with Mountain States and Mr. Givens, and had a tremendous turnout with our veterans. And you know there's such a need for our veterans. I mean, we can't meet the need. I mean, honestly, we were trying with the Veterans Administration, but you know, with the One Choice program that I started checking into, me and Mr. Givens, and I'm very appreciative of him because he worked from day one with me, We made a lot of phone calls, and we stayed on the phone a lot to get this process took care of. And now, today, we're having veterans come and get their needs met at our Simpson. That's a great thing, because the trickle-down effect from that ideal was, not only do you get the veteran, but if you do the work right and the people are treated right, you've got mothers and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters that also can have their needs met at these facilities. So I will tell you this, I am very supportive of this merger. I'm also very pleased that we will be able to keep our facility for 5 years. That'll give us enough time to get dug in and work on the economic side and work with the hospital. Because two of the greatest things that you can have in a region is a strong education process and a hospital. And it's going to be very hard for us as new leaders to be successful unless we're able to keep our hospital. So it's very imperative that we work as hard as you guys do, and we'll be there for you on this way forward to try to make sure that we help in any way we can to provide an economic boost and job creation in our communities. The other day I met with Alonzo Lester, he's our county administrator sitting over here, and he told me, gave me the information that we had now we're up to 90 foster kids. And, you know, with mental health illnesses and with drug addictions and stuff like that, Russell County is sitting in a prime location. And we are sitting in a very prime location to have a mental health facility sitting right in Russell County. We're centrally located, and we're within an hour's drive of mostly three or four states here. So I want to pitch that to you. We're sitting here, we're in prime location, and I think we have the ability to build on what we already have. One thing I told Steve back when I first got elected, I said, you know, we've got to become an inlet, not an outlet. I said, if we're going to survive, I said, everybody's driving out to get their services, you know, and get their needs met. I said, that's crazy. We've got to change that. We need to become an inlet where people don't have to drive for all the way to Salem. A veteran shouldn't have to drive to Salem. A veteran shouldn't have to drive to Johnson City to get their needs met. A veteran should be able just to drive 5 minutes, and there should be a facility there that they get their needs met. You know, and I'm very, proactive in regards to this. And we plan on having a winter retreat for our veterans. We've got another few forms that we're looking at doing, and we want to be partners with the hospital. So I know the chairman had said something to me that we want to take a letter, a resolution to our board to get support for this merger. So we are definitely in support, and we're here. So we're here to work with you, not against you, and to provide any opportunity we can to be able to provide and save our facility here in Russell County. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Ms. Marshall.
I'm a little bit nervous, Terry.
Don't be nervous.
I don't know if you remember me. I'm Terry and Helen's daughter.
Oh, nice to see you again.
I wasn't here when you two were really introduced. Who do you all work? The two, you two, Jim, I'm working.
Yeah, I'm out.
Well, I guess I really want to address you two and let everybody else know. I was born at Willamont, and I'll just get right down to the nitty gritty. Since 2010, I was laid off. I pay cash. So, and I've always been, when I get services done, I always call. Well, not last year, year before that, my husband had cancer on his face. Dr. Hudson in Kingsport is his doctor, plastic surgeon. I called Mountain States. Insurance price, $8,600. I said, I'm going to be paying cash. Well, we can give you a little break, $8,300. I called Willamont. Insurance price, $6,900. Cash price, $3,700. I mean, everything you check on in Mountain States is higher, a lot higher. And if my doctor tried to tell me which hospital to go to, I'd fire him. David's been my doctor for 40 years. I don't think any doctor does that. But as far as the care, my father was in both hospitals. I like the carry.back, you know, in Willamott a whole lot better than I did Indian Path. The price was high. But he got just as good, if not better, care in Willamont. And this merger will become a monopoly. And Mountain States will keep any other hospital entity from coming in here and setting up another hospital system. I know how you fought Willamott several years ago when they wanted to build a few bed hospital in Johnson City. You fought them tooth and nail because you were afraid they would take your patients, and they would have. And it'd be the same way. It's like here a few months ago. It was in the news. A company had purchased land from Mountain States to build a drug clinic in Johnson City. Oh, we didn't know they was going to do that. We wouldn't have sold them the land. Well, people found out 2 or 3 months down the line because Mountain States wanted to do a drug clinic. They wanted their hands in the honey pot. And, I mean, I just think Willamott does a whole lot better delivery system. I think they care more about their patients and the nurses. I know people who work at both. And I know people who quit Mountain States to go to Willamont to work. I think this merger would be a huge mistake. And I doctor in Kingsport. And the majority of people in Castlewood doctor in Kingsport. Most of them don't doctor, you know, up here. Because I feel like I've got more choice of doctors, and I've got a choice of a hospital. And the two, I mean, in my opinion, the two biggest hospitals in the region is Bristol and Willamott. I mean, it's, like I said, this creates a monopoly. And whether they say so or not, sooner or later, okay, when you merge, what's going to happen? Is Mountain States' price going to come down to Willamott's? Uh-uh. It's going to go up the other way. Willamont's is going to go up to what Mountain States is charging. And people who pay cash cannot afford that. I'm having a procedure done tomorrow. Guess where I'm having it done at? I had it priced at both places. I'm having it done at Willamont. Outpatients procedures. And unless you pay cash, you don't realize the difference in the pricing. And more people are doing it. I did it, you know, when I had insurance. Try to save my insurance company money, Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And it makes a huge difference. This is a bad idea, you think, and you know, but it's a good idea what you can offer together. Willamott already offers a lot of services on Stone Drive. That's where I'm going to have my procedure done tomorrow. Dr. Tester, your, at the hospital where you trauma center. My mom was in that 5 years ago. Terry knows that. Mom was in a really bad car accident. She was given a 20% chance to live. 9 broke ribs and broke pelvis, all that. She's 79 years old. Thanks to Dr. Testament, she lived. And so, no, I'm against it. Anytime you kill competition, I mean, you just kill it. And I know a lot of doctors in Kingsport that are against this. My doctor's against it. So, I mean, I just think it's a really bad idea. Because like I said, once you join, there'll never be nobody else in your office in healthcare as far as in the hospital. And then, what are you going to tell the insurance companies? Well, go grind them in a bucket if you don't like our prices. You can send them above Abingdon or you can send them to Knoxville. But that's just going to be the way it is if they don't like the pricing. And the insurance companies are not. I mean, if you work, you know, in any of these counties, this is going to tie all of the biggest part of the upper, you know, Tennessee and Virginia too. And like I said, it just, you all may think it's a good idea, but it's not. I mean, I just, it seems to me Willamont has always done its best to work with the community and the doctors and try to provide the best care that you can. Well, like I said, I think it's a bad idea. It kills competition. I think anytime you have competition, you have better care. And with this merger, we will have no competition. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. All right, now I guess I sort of feel like I'm in church. Does anyone else have a
comment that didn't get to sign up at this time? Or does anybody wish to file, fill out a public comment form and file it? Yes, yes, sir.
Come on up, President Reed.
Thank you, Terry.
My name's Steve Rudin. I'm the chairman of the board of Russell County. I didn't plan to speak tonight, but I let my bashful friend, David Eaton, speak. He said more. I think that's the shortest speech I've ever heard him give. But I guess when I heard Alan say that they're going to commit to build a drug treatment facility within Southwest Virginia, I think you saw me right there. That is something we've needed here within our area forever, really. And I'm delighted to hear that. I want you to remember, too, that the facility, I work in a program called Recovery 11, which is a drug support group. And we attack it from a different level, from a spiritual level. But it's more of a maintenance type program. After you get out of the facility, it's something to help you sustain in your recovery process. And the group we're tied with has been doing this almost 13 years, so we know the program is successful. We're almost in our fourth year now. As to the regional concept, I think there's no question that all the counties here in Southwest Virginia, we have to work on a regional basis. We cannot compete amongst ourselves anymore. With the declining economy and the declining population, that's what I'm seeing you guys tell me. We can't fight amongst ourselves for the population base as the population is decreasing by 10%, 15%, who knows what, in the next few years. And you may think it's you're limiting the competition, but actually what I think we're doing is preserving a good health care system that we're going to have. It's the best we can possibly hope for. I personally am in favor of the merger, and as David said, probably Monday we'll have a resolution in front of our board of supervisors in support of this resolution. And I see no reason why anybody would opt to vote against that. So thank you for what you've done.
Thank you. All right, is there anyone else who would like to make a public comment?
I'll take one home.
Oh, you want to take, okay, you want, yeah. Take one home, okay. I'll bring it up there to you in just a minute. Okay, I'll send it to you. All right, anyone else? Well, hearing none, let me just say thank you all for coming out, even though,
so we did.
Yeah, if you can, make sure we get that by the 30th, okay? All right, but thank you all for coming out tonight. You know, this is a process that we set up and has been set up through the Southwest Health Authority, and I know we're few in numbers tonight, but it's very important that we do hear from you, hear from the citizens, and hear from folks who are going to be affected by this merger. Let me thank Bart, Hove, and Alan Levine for coming over tonight to advise us and tell us about the plan and walk us through some of the plan, and I think that was very, very helpful to members of the community here. And if you don't have anything to do tomorrow night, we'll be in Wise at 6 o'clock at the Slim Center tomorrow night in Wise. And look forward to seeing some of you there. Thank you all and have a great night.